God. Thank you. Boris Richard Lambert, 89, passed from this life to his eternal home with his Lord and Savior on August 16th, 2020, at Maple Crest Rehabilitation and Living Center in Madison, Maine, where he had resided for the past 5 months. He was born March 12th, 1931, in Strong, Maine, the son of Richard E. and Lucille M. Lambert. He grew up in Strong and graduated from Strong High School in 1949. He married his high school sweetheart, Dorothy A. Damon, on July 16, 1950, at his parents' home in Strong. The couple lived in Farmington, and Morris worked for B.D. Moore Gas Company for a year. In 1951, Morris and Dot moved to Kingfield and lived in the apartment above the parts room at Knapp's Brothers Dodge dealership, where Morris went to work as a mechanic for 3 years. Then he worked as a mechanic for Austin Thompson for a year. Later that same year, Morris and Dot purchased a house on Upper Main Street in Kingfield, where they resided for over 60 years. Morris served as president of the Franklin County Firemen's Association, as well as Franklin County Fire Coordinator for one term. Morris was also appointed fire chief, where he served for 31 years between the years of 1956 and 1987. Morris began running the SO station in Kingfield, where he was later joined by his father, Richard Lambert, to help run the business until Richard's retirement in 1972. Morris then returned to the employ of Knapp Brothers as shop foreman and service manager. He retired from Knapp's in 1996 after 24 years of service. Morris also served on the Kingfield Water Board in 2006 during negotiations to bring Poland Spring Water Company to the area. Morris was a faithful member of Kingfield First Baptist Church, where he served as deacon and trustee for many years. He was later ordained as an elder at Farmington Baptist Church in Farmington, where he attended and served for several years. Later, he helped found and become a charter member and elder of Western Mountains Baptist Church in New Portland, Maine. Morris had many talents. There was little he did not know how to do, a real jack of all trades. He was a gifted artist, a licensed welder, and seemed to be able to fix just about anything. Because he worked with the public, he was known far and wide, was well-liked and respected. He had a quick wit, loved to laugh, and was fun-loving. His home was open to all. He loved to eat and loved to feed anyone that came through his door. He was a collector of rocks and semi-precious stones and had a great appreciation for nature. Morris enjoyed hunting, fishing, and boating, and for many years his annual vacation was spent camping along Flagstaff Lake. He was a true Mainer and a great storyteller. He helped everyone and anyone that needed it. He was a good provider and friend, steady and solid, someone you could count on and call if you were in trouble. He deeply loved his family and was a man of unwavering faith. Morris was blessed with a large family. He survived by his wife of 70 years, Dorothy, and 7 children, daughter Sharon Bain and husband Brian of Pittsfield, son Rick Lambert and wife Judy of Hamden, son Scott Lambert and wife Sue of Canaan, son Claire and wife Jeanette of Kingfield, son Paris and wife Linda of Benton, daughter Pam and husband Dennis of Kingfield, and daughter Melanie Meldrum and husband Roger of Kingfield. Nephew Dale Starnes and wife Georgette of Jay, niece Sonia Dearborn and husband Richard of Kingfield, 19 grandchildren, 25 great-grandchildren, and many other nieces, nephews, and great-nieces and nephews. He was predeceased by one other daughter, Valerie Baker, to make 8 children in all. His parents, Richard and Lucille Lambert, his only sibling, Rosalind Starnes, and several other relatives. So that was his obituary as written. When I think about Morris, And I knew Morris my whole life. I'm reminded of a verse from Matthew 23, chapter 11. The verse says, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." Morris's life was about service, whether that was in his community, in his church, at his job. He was about service. You know, I hope everyone has the blessing of treasuring their childhood the way I treasure my childhood. And my growing up years, Morris was a big part of that. It was such a blessing to grow up in a community filled with large, loving families. You know, in a community filled with Lamberts and Trantons and Jordans and many, many others. Morris was a big deal to me. You know, if you picture your life like an outdoor tent, and it has several posts that hold it up. Sometimes you might picture it like a circus tent, but Morris was a pillar in my life, in my childhood, and I was privileged to serve with him here and to worship with him from the time I was a teenager. So he'll be missed. Gene.
As you can see, the pictures behind us, Morris was a huge part of starting this church. It started in his kitchen, and his desire to want to serve the community, to bring a strong church to this community. But serving with him, it was huge. But I met Morris back in 1989 when I started working at Knapp's, and I worked for Morris for 8 years. About that time is when my wife and I got saved. So I was hot-headed, and Morris, to say that he had an influence on my life, just putting it mildly. Outside of my dad, Morris probably had some of the biggest influences in my life. He taught me about service, like Dee mentioned. He taught me about compassion. He taught me about loving my neighbor. He set the example in so many ways. And their family kind of took us in, not because we were without a family, but they just involved us in their family life, and taught us how to be better parents, I think. But his attitude, his compassion, and his desire to love and serve the Lord is what influenced me the most. I counted it a privilege and an honor to serve with him. Out of all the men that have poured into my life, outside of my dad, probably Morris is probably one of the greatest influences in my life, and he will truly be missed. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that he is right where he has always wanted to be. You didn't have to talk to Morris for very long to know that. So, and he was always good. You could just about name any town in the state of Maine, and he could tell you a good restaurant to eat at. Thanks.
So we did promise junior church or children's church for those who would want to take advantage of that. Now is a good time. Kids can be dismissed to go do that. You can also stay if you'd like. It's not bad from up here. You know, it's just this little thing. I can see everybody. It's not bad. Sitting out there is a little weird. In fact, yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, we're kind of living in interesting times, right? And these interesting times call for change, like building a wall down the middle of a church or change the way we typically do things, right? And today we are making a significant change in the way we honor the memory of a dear one who's passed from this life into life eternal. On Sunday last, as we've mentioned, we lost a giant of a man. You see in the pictures, he wasn't very tall, but he was a giant of a man. Morris Lambert was a founding member of Western Mountains Baptist Church, but he was frankly so much more than that to many of us. And I sort of knew, you know, as a pastor, that days like these are coming, a day when we say goodbye to a mentor, a friend, an example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the very first verse of that chapter, the Apostle Paul says this to the entire church in Corinth. Think about that. He says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." How many of us would dare to say that to anyone, never mind a whole community of believers? Now, Morris never actually said these words to me, but he lived a life that, at least in my own experience with him, he said these words through his actions, right? In fact, there's one nugget I want to share with you that Morris shared with the men of this church at one of our Saturday morning breakfasts, monthly breakfasts. It was a number of years ago. And I literally just passed this on to a young man 2 weeks ago. And I've passed it on to many others in the past. Morris told us that morning, he told us that as a young man, he decided beforehand how he would react, how he would answer his friends when the temptations came. See, Morris was wise enough to know temptations and peer pressure were both coming. Right, and he even knew what those temptations were going to be and what kind of pressures were on their way. So he prepared himself. He was ready with a quick answer and an escape plan already in place. See, that, my friends, is wisdom and integrity on display, isn't it? And as we talk through the life of Morris Lambert, what I hope we accomplish is this. I hope we can see the value in leaving a legacy. That's the title of this sermon, this memorial, this tribute, call it what you will. Leave a legacy. And here's something I hope we all consider. We will, whether you like it or not, we will leave some kind of legacy, be it good or quite possibly bad. And we generally get to determine which one it is by the choices we make, by the work we do, and the way we love people. Now, I've only known Morris about 20 years of his 89 years, so I can only speak to the years that I've known him, though I've heard over the years of his earlier life in earlier times. In fact, we heard from Dean and Jean on that this morning already. But here's what I can tell you about my experience with Morris Lambert. He loved God and he loved people. The two commandments that Jesus tells us are the most important. I watched Morris and Dot tend out on many people. I see some of you here today. You lived in his house for a while. I saw Morris, and I've always called them Dot and Morris. I'm calling them Morris and Dot this morning, but it's usually Dot and Morris, but that's okay, right? I watched Morris and Dot do many of the little things, the things that sometimes or quite often go unnoticed that sort of make the world go round, that keep things moving in the right direction. I watched Morris and Dot pray for so many people and so many situations sitting each morning at their kitchen table. And, sorry. And I know that I was a subject of many of those prayers over their years as their pastor. And I was so comforted in knowing that they were praying for me continuously. And I know some of you do too, and I appreciate that. I served with Morris as a fellow elder at Farmington Baptist Church, where his wisdom and experience proved most helpful in working through some difficult things. I counted it a privilege to have him as one of my elders here at Western Mountains Baptist Church, sharing his life experience with us and his wisdom with us. Even when Morris had something difficult to say, he delivered it in a gentle and reverent manner, really providing a great example to the rest of us as in our elders and our deacons' meetings. Morris, as you could probably tell from the pictures, was an integral part of building this church, and not, friends, not just the physical building, right, but building the body of Christ within the church. He led by example, and he never tired of ministry. He was, as James says, a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. He was an awesome encourager as well as a steady worker doing what needed doing along the way. He was my friend, one of my mentors, one of my encouragers, and I'll miss him. Now, let me tell you a little something about tributes or memorials. They're not really intended for the deceased, especially for someone like Morris, a child of the King, a believer, a follower of Christ who is now in the presence of his Savior and Lord. No, this is for all of us still here on this earth, still on the green side of the sod, as they say. A memorial helps us grieve. It helps us say goodbye. It helps us to comfort one another. It helps us remember Morris well as we share stories and share times that we have experienced with him. We've had a couple of people share already some of their experience with Morris, but I also want to be sure others get a similar opportunity to briefly share. So as I speak, be thinking about your own relationship with Morris and what he meant to you personally. Maybe you recall a funny story. Maybe you recall a time where he lent you a hand in a time of need. Maybe you recall a time when he said or did just the right thing at just the right time. And then I want you to consider sharing the moment with all of us. And here's why. As I said earlier, I've known Morris for over 20 years, but he was 89 years old, right? So that means there's some gaps there, right? That means there are more than 60 years, nearly 70 years of his life that are a bit of a mystery to me. So maybe you can help fill the gaps. And not just for me, but for his family and for his friends as well. So when I'm done, we'll open the floor for your memories. Jim's going to kind of man the mic and he'll wipe it down for you so we're COVID-free and all that stuff. You're going to have to come up here so people can see you and with a mic hear you. We are recording for the family. So another thing a memorial typically does, one that many of us may not find so pleasant as a sweet memory, is to make us kind of face mortality, our own mortality. It's days like this when we have no choice really but to confront the very fact that each of one of us is going to face death someday, right? I can't remember who said it first, but there's a saying that says we all have an expiration date. And frankly, we should. We must contemplate what's on the other side of death, right? Psalm 89, verse 48, defines this age-old problem well. It says this, "What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his soul from the power of Sheol?" And I think we all know the answer to the psalmist's question, right? No man can live and not see death. Well, if Morris was still with us and you were to ask him this question, what happens when I die? I believe his answer would be something like this. The Bible tells us that all people are sinners. And in fact, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Morris was no fool. Morris knew that he was a sinner. Now here's the problem. God, who we often love to describe as loving, gracious, and merciful, and God is all that, but God is also righteous, and God is also just. And that means when someone does wrong, there must be a consequence. When someone sins, there is a penalty or a price to be paid for that sin. Just as when a crime is committed, justice must be done, so it is with God. And since God sees all, there's literally no getting away with it. And the problem gets worse before it gets better. See, there is nothing that we can do on our own to ever pay the penalty for all the sins that we've committed or will commit in our lives. So it seems we're in a bit of trouble. And this is where God provides a way. Many have heard of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world," that's you and me, "that he sent his only begotten Son," that is Christ Jesus, "that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Stated another way in Romans 5:8 by the Apostle Paul, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Well, what does that mean? What does it mean that God sent his Son? What does it mean that Christ died for us? It means this: Jesus, the very Son of God, came to this earth, humbled himself, and came to this earth and lived in sinless perfection so that he could be the perfect sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God. And then Jesus took on the sins of the world as he went to the cross to die. Jesus, the Son of God, suffered the penalty for my sins and for yours. Jesus died in my place, and he died in yours. For the wages of sin is death, and he died so that we might live. Jesus provided the substitutionary atonement for our sins. Let me share another passage of Scripture with you. It's found in Revelation 3, verse 20. It says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." See, this is an invitation from Jesus. And do we hear him knocking on the door of our hearts? Do we hear his voice calling to us today? See, no man comes to the Father except the Father draw him, according to the Gospel of John. Is he drawing you today? See, the Father called to Morris many years ago, and he answered the door. And that's why today we can be comforted knowing that he will spend eternity in heaven. See, my hope, my prayer for all of us here today is that we hear his voice, we hear the knock at the door, and we answer it. for Morris knew where he would spend eternity. Do we? Do you? And hear me on this. See, it's not just about where we will spend eternity. It's also about a life well lived. It's about a life rightfully motivated. It is about honoring God with the life that He has given us. It is about the opportunity God gives us to leave a legacy. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are His workmanship," right? "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." See, Morris was the workmanship of God Himself. And so are you. And so am I. And Morris walked in the good works that God prepared for him to do. And this is one of the reasons I want us to have the opportunity to reflect on the life of Morris Lambert, so that we may see a fuller picture of a life well lived in service to his God and King. His was a life in which I truly believe he heard these words from the Father, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There's a promise Jesus made to his disciples, and he makes it to us, and it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. They're comforting words, where Jesus says this, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." See, Jesus prepared a place for Morris. And friends, he wants to prepare a place for you too. So what kind of legacy will we leave behind? Will it be a legacy of love for God and a love for people? Or will it be a legacy of serving self? See, one leads to destruction and hell. The other leads to a home in heaven. Well, friends, how will we choose? Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you for the gift of Morris Lambert to his family, to his community, to his churches that he's served in over the years. I thank you for the legacy that he has left behind as a man of God, a man who loved people, a man who loved to serve you, a man who accomplished much in your name's honor and in your name's glory. Father, I pray that we would learn the lessons we need to learn from his legacy, that we would see those things that moved us, changed us, and we would desire to follow in his footsteps in those areas. Lord, may we too leave a legacy, one that would honor you, one that would glorify your name. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, so I want to open the floor to those that might have a word to say about Morris Lambert. That would be a great time to come on up.
I'll start. Thanks, Tom. I'll kick us off and then just raise your hand. And actually, probably the best thing to do would be to come forward, I guess, because if you are on this side, we won't see you on this side and vice versa. So. Wow. So I probably met Morris 10, 12 years ago, and we became pretty fast friends. We met at Kingfield Elementary School. The church used to meet over there. And I used to love going to church on Sundays for a lot of reasons, but Morris was one of them. Started reading a lot of the same books. I think I read a lot of his library. He had a lot of books by Hal Lindsey and Frank Peretti and He had some great videos on evolution, and he shared all those with me, and I watched them all and read them all, and we'd come in on Sundays and talk about them, and he was great. He, you know, as I became more involved in the church, you know, he wasn't necessarily the tallest guy in the room, but like Tom said, he was a giant, and when he spoke, we listened. He was filled with wisdom, and I was at that Sunday or that Saturday breakfast when he was talking about, you know, how to live a righteous life, how to flee from sin, and he just shared so many great real life stories for us. And I don't consider myself to be a young guy anymore, but when you're talking with Morris, you know, you feel like you're like a child still, and you just kind of listen. And I think we all did that. He was an awesome guy, and he loved his community. He loved Dot. He loved his family, and I think that's one of the greatest witnesses that he could have given, was the love that he had for his family and for you, Dot. I mean, it was awesome. I see that picture of you guys kissing. You know, it's just so sweet, so sweet. He's with God now. He's with heaven. That's what he lived for that. And he's there now and celebrating, and I'm so happy for him. I mean, we'll miss him, but we'll see him again, and I look forward to that. So anyway, I'll leave it at that, but if anyone else would love to share a story or a memory about Morris, we would love to hear it. And I know there's a lot. I saw that poster board as we came in, and someone's got to have a good story about that beard he grew. That was something else. That was great. But anyway, yeah, come on up. I'll try to clean the mic off. Oh, good. Brian's here. All right, good. It was going to get real awkward.
Well, this is going to be hard to me because Morris is real close to me. But, he was my mentor. When I come here from Fayette, that man, he come along beside me, and he picked me up and showed me the ropes. And you talk about a prayer warrior. That was a prayer warrior right there. He's the one who taught me how to get to praying. And he did an awesome job at it. He's also a guy that loved the service ministry. He loved to help people. He loved being around family. He was just an awesome guy. And it was a pleasure to work with him. That old wood splitter that you saw on the film there is my wood splitter when I first got it. And I just got it remodeled a little bit. And Morris was impressed of how big a stick that would split. And so we had an old yellow birch on there one day. She had a big knot in it. Mara says, "This ain't going to cut it." I said, "Be patient. Where's your faith?" And he said, "Okay, we'll see." So he pushed down on the lever. He was getting ready to pull it back because it stopped. I said, "No, keep pushing." And it hit the high range there, and she just snapped right through that. Mara says, "Wow, that thing's got some power." I said, "Yeah, it does, Morris." I said, "Don't underestimate God's power now." He said, "Oh, I'm not." He says, "I'm not." He says, "I thank you for letting me get involved in with this ministry." He says, "This is a lot of fun." I said, "Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun." I says, "We get to meet new people. We get to have a good time doing what we're doing as family." And when we first started here, we started Morris was one of the ones that helped get the CD ministry started. Because he was asking me about that when I was down in Fayette. We had that down there. And he wanted to know how it all worked. So I explained it all to him. So he said, "We need that here in our church." So he was one of the fellows that donated to get that going. And even though we've had some young fellows try to shut that down, the old people still want it to go because we don't listen to stuff on computers or CDs. Computers and other stuff there, but we listened to them on CDs in our vehicles. And so Morris loved that. So he kept that going. And he did a good job at it, encouraging us to do things that sometimes we didn't think we could do. And like Tom said, he's an encourager, and he was one of my encouragers. He encouraged me to do a lot of things. The Bible study, he taught me a lot of stuff at Bible study. One of those pictures I saw there, I was dog tired. Morris was just as full of life as could be, and he perked me up. So I got through Bible study without going to sleep. So that was pretty cool, because I've been putting in a lot of hours for the state, and I was dog tired from that, plowing snow and stuff. So, but it was awesome to have Dot and Morris at Bible study. You talk about wisdom. There's some wisdom. Dot's not going to be able to get down to our Bible study this fall, this winter, and hopefully she has one at her house for the gals that are over here in Kingfield. She packs a lot of wisdom there, and God doesn't want us to keep that inside of us. He wants to share it. So I hope you do that, Dot, in honor of Morris. Just thank you for that. And I just can't thank Morris enough for all the things that he done for me and all the things that he showed me. Like Jim said, he liked the Revelation parts of the Bible. And a lot of people think that's a scary book, but I found it a very interesting book when he was explaining all this stuff that was going to happen. And he says, the end of the world is coming real soon, Brian, real soon. I say, yeah, I know, Morris. No, I mean real soon, he says, it's coming. He says, I think it's going to come before I die. I said, I hope not. And he says, well, I think it is. And I said, I hope not. But fortunately, he got out of some of this mess that's going on in this world right now. So we just thank God that God took him at the right time. And now he's up there with Jesus and the Father doing what he needs to be doing so the rest of us can get prepared. So I just I thank Morris and I thank Dot for all they do for us. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, good to see this side. Hi, everybody. Well, I was thinking as we looked at the pictures and the same with seeing Dot and Morris kissing and the family pictures and stuff, made me think of the saying you probably heard, behind every great man is a woman telling him what to do. So I just want to take some time to thank Dot for sharing Morris, because it is a sacrifice to your family when you live a life of service. And I'm really grateful that you were able to share him with us, and not just the church, but the community, the things he did. I wasn't aware. I knew he was the fire chief here in Kingfield, but I didn't know it was 30, 31 years, I think it was. Amazing man, full of just the love of the Lord has been expressed so many times, and his service to us. And it was an example to me. I was trying to fit. We'd been in several churches with Morris, Calvary Bible in Stratton, Farmington Baptist in Farmington, and then here. And I always kind of struggled as this is not comfortable for me up here in front of people. And I've always been kind of a behind the scenes guy. And I really liked the idea of a service ministry, which we started when we were still over at the school. And I have fond memories of how many times Morris and Dot came to a lot of the different service opportunities that we had. His family, we've been close with a lot of the family members, and we really love and cherish the relationships that we've been able to have with them. My wife just wanted me to share one story of our girls, when they were younger, took piano lessons with Dot. And one of the things she remembered was Morris driving him up faithfully, driving Dot up to Stratton, where we live. I think you had other lessons up in the area as well, besides their daughters. But he was always willing, and I think their love for each other is obvious. But through things like that he would do, you know, faithfully, I just just really appreciate them and wanted to share those thoughts with you. God bless.
I, like you, Tom, have only been here 22 years. And but look at the men in this community. This is the community. When I came here 22 years ago, I was looking to get out of Texas. And I came up here, and people thought I was nuts because they were like, the Lord really spoke to me. He said, I need you here, Donovan. This is, you are a colorful pot. You guys all know that, right? This is where I'm going to plant you. And I told myself many, many, many years ago that this is where I'll be in a little old rickety and die. And I look around at the community of men here, and I look and see how many men Morris touched. Dot and Morris. Dot, you are the woman's mentor. You are the proverbial woman. God just put you guys on this planet for this community. This is the strongest church, bar none, that I have been in. Look at the people that he influenced. Tom, Jim, Brian, Gene, Dean, to name but just a small few. I really miss, I saw the pictures, and I'm like, hey, I'm not in any of them. But then I'm the photographer. I took 90% of them. So, and I remember Jim at the Bible study and the knowledge that these core people had, Morris and Dot and Pat and Jim. And now it's going to be Crystal and Brian. And Dot, you have raised us up. You've raised Crystal. I look at Pat. I see Priscilla. I see Dory. I see Janet. I see Pat. I see so many people that this core couple has influenced. And he was such a servant. I did stay in their house when I broke my leg and couldn't get up my stairs. I did all my therapy in their house. And I remember that we went on this trip in search of, because my garage door didn't work. I had a garage door clicker thing, and Morris says, well, I don't make these anymore. They quit making them when, 50 years ago. And I remember Warren Hinckley came over, and I bought this house, and Warren Hinckley said, Donovan, that dishwasher is older than I am. hey, Pam. So good to see you. You're so pretty. And so we went on this search, and I didn't know Maine at all. I had only been here maybe a year or two. And they brought me, and he found this guy in godforsaken Maine somewhere. It was an hour and a half drive, and we went out, and he does know every restaurant in the entire state. And so we went out, we tried a couple little restaurants, and we finally found that garage door opener of all obscure things. You know, Morris was tenacious. He was not a Google person, but he was very tenacious. He's a very ingenious man. And I would not be the person I am without the influence of this church and all y'all core people. And with that, Morris, and all the wonderful, wonderful things that I just see. I hear all these stories, and I'm like shaking my head going, yup, that's them. His family, his children, Pam and Melanie and Val, she was a hoot, and Claire. I don't know Sharon as well, but she's always treated me really, really good when I do see her. She lives away. You guys are the strongest family. I would never want to be anywhere else but Kingfield, Maine, with the core that we have here, and it's because of people like Dot and Morris, who birthed in the tree of the canopy we have in this community is amazing and outstanding. And I mean the Western Mountains. I don't mean just, you know, Kingfield. I mean all of it. Thank you so much. God bless all of y'all.
Hi, I'm Crystal Fitch. And the first time I met Morris was at the Kingfield School. Brian and I had gone there to visit. And Morris greeted me. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who Dot was or anybody there. And he came over and he got close to me and I could have sworn he kissed me on the cheek. And so when we left, I told Brian, I said, I think that old man kissed me on the cheek. And so we got home and Brian showed me in the Bible where it's like ordered to greet each other with a holy kiss. So that was good. So I just kind of like kept Morris on the outside for a while. But Morris was such an awesome man. And, you know, I ended up trusting him. And so, yeah, if anyone was going to greet me with a holy kiss, it would be Morris. And something else I remembered about Morris is, like Brian mentioned, the CD ministry. There was a kingdom assignment that we had at the church where people were given $1,000 to spend on a ministry. And Morris quickly spent his $1,000 to get the CD ministry off the ground. And we spent many years being able to have Bible study with Morris and Dot at our house and here at the church. And he was a big part of the prayer ministry. And thank you.
It's good to be here and see everybody. It's been a long time since I've been here. Most of you know I've been dealing with an illness for 5.5 years now, but I'm finally getting stronger. And you know I'm not going to be long-winded because I can't stand here very long. But, I mean, there's a lot of things I could say about Dad. One thing I know Mom wanted to mention was that he was a member of the Gideons for a number of years. He was instrumental in distributing Bibles. That was very important to him. Some of the kind of funny things about him was something that not everybody knew was he loved nicknames, and he had a lot of nicknames for people that he was close to. My nickname was Pamelita, and he had about, I think we sat down once and figured out how many nicknames he had for Mom, and I think we came up with close to 20. And I'm not kidding. And he used them all, and they were hilarious, and that was one thing about him that we appreciated growing up is that he loved to laugh. He was always joking. He really was very quick-witted. And sometimes when, you know, there was a serious situation, something going on, sometimes his sense of humor and getting us to look at the light side of things really got us through a lot of tough times. You know, Dad wasn't superhuman. He was just a man like we, you know, like anyone was, but, he did have a lot of good qualities, and he really was a servant. I mean, I lived in his home, and I saw how he was, and that's really who he was. He really served the town and community and the church, also his church family and church community. I can remember the phone ringing constantly. Of course, he was a fire chief for many, many years. So if he was going off to fight a fire, or if someone was in trouble or got into an accident, or somebody had something wrong with their car, or I mean, there was a million different things that came up, and he was always running off to help someone all the time. I know that he really cared about people's spiritual condition. He really genuinely did. And he held a lot of Bible studies in his home. He was always very concerned about what everybody was going to eat when they got there. That was definitely true about him. He just wanted to offer hospitality to everyone that came through the door. And, you know, our door was always open. It was always open to anyone to come in that needed help. We had many people live in our home over the years as I was growing up to help people. So, you know, even though he had to work hard to support all of us, there being so many of us, he really, you know, his devotion was to the Lord. It really, truly was. And he loved his brothers and sisters in Christ. They really meant the world to him. And my parents have faithfully prayed for their church family for as long as, you know, the longest memory that I have. They really, really cared. And that was my father's life. You know, he did a lot of different things, but his service to the Lord and to ministry through the church was the thing that I can see was really the most important thing to him. And I remember even work days at the church. I mean, he was very faithful. I mean, it was rare that he ever missed one. And so all of those things add up to a great example. He really showed us with his life more than he did. More than what he said was more, it was more what he did. And that was a great example to all of us. I just wanted everyone to know how much you all meant to him and how your prayers and love and support were so important to us during the time that he's been sick. But I know in his heart, he longed to be with the Lord, and it was, maybe not everyone knows, but he passed on my sister Valerie's birthday. And she's been with the Lord now since 14 years, September 25th of 2007. So that must have been something very special, a great reunion. And I know, you know, there's many loved ones that have gone on ahead that he's also reunited with, which is very special. And it's a comfort to us to know that he's there and with them and waiting for us. So I just wanted to say thank you. For surrounding our family with love and support and prayers. We are blessed to be part of all members of one body. And, you know, your joys are our joys. And your sorrows are our sorrows. And I know he truly felt that way. Is there anything you want to say, Mom? So I'll turn it over to Mom.
I'm going to tell you something funny. He really did have quite a sense of humor. And one day when we were first married in spring, I was spring cleaning. He worked at Starbucks and drove back and forth to Farmington at that time. And he said, he came home for supper, and he said, "Well, what's your day been like?" And I said, "I've been spring cleaning, and I am so tired, I don't know which end I'm on." He said, "Well, decide quick, because I can't tell by looking." And that's what he was like. And he said so many times, "The people that attend this church are the best people in the world. I want you to know that." We did have some sadness through the years that we raised our family, but it was sacred to him to always be the one to take me to the hospital and bring me home when I came home with the babies, even though he kind of chided me that cost him a night's sleep most of the time. He never forgot Tom. They loved to laugh together, and Tom went to see him quite a few times after he went to Woodlands and Farmington. But anyway, he was waiting to go to heaven. He was always waiting to go to heaven. I hope you all are too. And I know you're expecting some tears. Well, there's been some tears, but there's been good times too. And some of our children are not here today because they're high risk for the virus. And in fact, Clea has shingles right now. And Melanie's high risk because she has breathing issues. So they're not here. But I'm sure they're here in spirit, and they love their dad. And I hope you'll know that death is a divine appointment. And the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So we know where he is, and we're rejoicing. Thank you for your love and care.
All right, if no one else had another memory or story to share, I'd invite the praise team to come on up.